Welcome, everybody. You're on Silky and Filthy. This is Trevor here, and you know what? November's been a pretty shitty month, so I try to get my mind off things by speaking with Ben Burnell, who covers the Utica Comets full-time. Yeah, we got a guest on the show, Kyle. Are you excited for this interview or what? We're going to distract ourselves from what's going on with the Canucks, and we're going to listen to some Comets talk, man. We're going to talk to a guy who's in that dressing room every day. Got some great insight. You know, he won an award for best coverage in the AHL, eh? Do you know about
best
that?
Best coverage? What do you win? What do you win, like a pen?
Oh, yeah, I think it's like a pen, maybe a pin. I think it was a pin, actually, yeah. No, they really like to get those pins out.
You know, you got to just keep grinding. That looks really good on a resume. You know, Seattle just got a team. They're going to need some reporters, so there you go.
Yeah, Seattle's a fun city, man. Got to love it in Seattle.
This guy should apply.
Ben Burnell. He's in Utica, you know, right? He's cross-country. You want to bring him out here, though, eh?
Didn't the Vegas reporter move from, like, Winnipeg or something?
Yeah, true, but that's a pretty sick upgrade.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
Ben, how do you pronounce this guy's name again?
Ben Burnell.
Ben Burnell. Okay, you dream to come to the West Coast in Washington and cover the Seattle, not the Krakens. Fuck the Kraken.
Oh, the Kraken for sure, man. The dirty Kraken.
That name sucks.
You don't like the Kraken?
That name sucks.
Oh, man. What do you got against the Kraken?
Are you six?
What? It's fun. It's goofy. Who cares? Sports is fun.
National hockey team, man. Get the fuck out of here, man.
What do you want to call them? Okay, what do you want to call them? Yeah, the Golden Knights are fucking awesome.
It wasn't awesome.
It's a little cheesy. Who cares? They made the Cup final. Why can you hate it?
The Golden Knights. You know, I guess with any name, you know, it just takes time for it to stick. Everyone might think it's a bad name in the beginning, you know, the Kraken. But it might stick, you know?
Can you imagine just like a release the Kraken routine, you know? They just fucking throw a dead fish on the ice like the teams in the NHL, you know?
I don't even know, man.
I guess you could throw a dead fish on the ice for a number of teams, right? Sawkeye and Steelhead are up there. Sawkeye. I don't mind both
That's
of those
cool.
names.
I like
yeah.
that, man. Those are cool. That's cool.
Although they got an ultimate Frisbee team in Seattle who's going to be very pissed about the name Sawkeye, I think.
Because they got the Sawkeyes?
Yeah, they already got the Sawkeyes. They're SeattleSawkeyes.com and everything.
Ultimate
it's gonna be
Frisbee.
A fucking
Great
bloodbath.
Game. Great game, Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah, brings me back to high school, you know.
Yeah.
Brings me back to PE 12.
What if you could play tackle frisbee, man?
That'd be pretty fun, actually.
Maybe that's how the NFL will go, you know, ultimate football. Stand, throw, touch. Seriously, man. You know, you've seen how the flag football is now on the NFL Network, right, in the summer?
Oh yeah, no, I've seen it.
You know, they're doing it for a reason. 100 years from now. Contact football may not exist.
Oh, I think they're just going to get robots to play it, man. You know, us humans, we crave that physical contact, whether it's on the field or in the bedroom.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
You never know, man. All right, man. Well, you know what? All I got to say is two things on the topic of, you know, weird, shitty fetishes. Is fuck Seattle. Just fuck them. I already hate them.
Who?
Seattle. Fuck them. Yeah, fuck them.
I don't hate Seattle yet, but I will. I know. Gonna happen. They're probably gonna be better than us. Yo, if Jim Benning is still our general manager by the time Seattle is here, yeah, they're gonna be better than us.
You know what scares me shitless? And it doesn't matter if Benning's in charge. If Mike Gillis goes to Seattle, we're fucked. We're absolutely fucked.
Right?
If we lose Mike Gillis to Seattle, like, come on. If that's
Mike
about to
Gillis,
happen,
Seattle, Gilman, Toronto.
Yeah, we're done. Aquilini's got to make a trade to the new Kraken or whatever they're gonna be, and just say, look. We'll give you Benning and Wise, bro. You get the whole package, and then we get to take Gillis back. You know, Gillis and Aquilini, just let him mend it over, you know, a few bottles of wine.
Can we get a Jim Benning slipper on this podcast next week or something?
A Jim Benning slipper?
Like a slurper.
Oh, a slurper.
Yeah, a slurper, Jim Benning.
There's a few of those on Twitter, yeah.
I know, but I just want... And if all they can say is patience and draft picks, I'm just going to... I might slap them.
Well, you know, we've been collecting a lot of draft picks, and it's hard to get draft picks, but we try to make the most of them.
What GM can last this long, you know?
No, we got a Benning truther in the house. I think our buddy Aaron, who's in the studio right now, he loves Benning, right? He's a big Benning guy.
Wow.
He's been talking about all the great draft picks that Benning's been making.
Wow, he's one of those guys.
We got a Benning truther in the house. A Benning truther in the house.
Look at his draft picks.
Well, you know what?
Well, yo, if your team's going to suck, obviously you're going to be better at drafting, I guess. You know, it's kind of inevitable.
In the long term, though, whether he's good at drafting or not, he doesn't have all the skills necessary to be a general manager.
Yeah, successful.
What happens in a couple years when we're going to have to navigate the salary cap when we got young guys looking for salary?
That deserves this job. Like, the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. Okay? It shouldn't just be any fucking top fucking 30 general manager. Should be the best of the best. Should come to Vancouver to general manager this team, okay? Come on, man. We have Jim Benning. It's just like, yo, that's our standard of a good general manager. Obviously, the draft picks were gonna be used at better spots, equaling better prospects, and they're still just prospects. Like, that's all he has. They still suck.
All he's got to his name is, you know, Besser, Pedersen, a couple other guys. That's about it. And a ton of shitty contracts, man.
Ton of shitty contracts.
It's funny, man. I was going through like who like the Canucks' highest paid players were in salary this season. Erickson. And like you have Erickson at the top with Horvat, and in the pretty much top six you have Beagle and Gabranson, and it's just like
Unbelievable.
Oh yeah, all that hate about the Horvat contract, that's absolute bullshit. Dumbasses. Oh yeah, JD was going on about, you know, how it's a shitty contract. Because one stats guy, Matt Cain's got a model.
Why did everyone shit on that JD guy, man? He's a nice guy. We met him at the Athletic.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Smile. That guy's got the best smile.
He shotgunned a Guinness. You gotta give him credit.
Yeah, he shotgunned a Guinness.
Yeah, that takes some strength. That's good.
Shout out to JD Burke. I know Botchford like chirped you pretty hard, you know. It's a friendly jab, but he called him out.
You know, it'd be nice to have some nice 1800s music, but in the great contract debate of 2018, like, JD takes the loss on this one. I know he's trying to stand by it, but the Horvat contract is pretty damn good. There are a lot of shitty hockey players making $5.5 million. So, I mean, Horvat's contract, for what he's doing, like, Horvat has been the MVP of this team. Like, say what you want about Pedersen.
Shitty hockey players making like $3.5 million or $3 million.
They have a lot of shitty hockey players making $4 or $5 million, so.
In general, man. I just, you know, I love how, obviously, this season's been weird. It's been weird. Remember last month how happy we were?
I'm still happy, man. Why aren't you happy?
Yeah. It's gonna feel good. It just felt like we're gonna get 80 points at least.
Well, it's still possible.
Winning some games, you know. We got to stop watching hockey by December 22nd. That's what's going to happen. This podcast going to shit. We're not fucking doing anything after this. After December 22nd, like, what? Really want to do this again, Kyle? I don't know. Let's pick it up next year.
No, fuck it, man. But this is why I love just watching. I'm just a hockey fan in general. I don't even give a fuck about the Canucks, man.
How your home team just sucks? Like, just sucks? This year's, it's looking like it's going to be pretty bad again, right? So, what makes you think that next year is going to be better? Just because we got Quinn Hughes? Like, what? Like, I don't even... We said that last year. We got Pedersen this year.
Well, it goes back to...
I don't know. Jim Benning's got to go. That's all I got
to
say.
It does go back to, do you trust Benning in charge? And how much do you trust the younger players coming up? To me, until, like, Demko comes into the crease and we start seeing, like, Hughes and Uolevi make an impact, this team's in trouble. And that could be this year and next year. I would not be surprised in the slightest.
Fuck, man, I hope Jim Benning proves me wrong. You know,
prove us wrong.
Draft picks are fucking crazy. The most amazing draft picks ever. But I feel like Phoenix has had many draft picks. I feel like Carolina's had many draft picks. I feel like the Oilers have had many draft picks. Oh, look at our prospect pool, man. Oh, yo, this guy coming up, 100 points in the CHL. Oh, second round pick, steal. How about Dave Tippett too? Remember that?
Oh, he's got a management position in Seattle.
Take him. That guy's the Jeff Fisher. Remember we talked about it? That guy's the Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, you did compare him to Jeff Fisher. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. They kind of look alike too. Great hockey dude though. Where are we going, man? Shout out to Trevor. Trevor did the work. Got the hookup. I'm looking forward to this interview.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him about what he thought about betting and the job that he's done? You know, supplying Utica.
We talked to him more about, you know, the decision making behind which players get to come up. How much say does the coach get? How much say does the general manager get? How much say does Ryan Johnson get? Because Ryan Johnson gets a big say in what's going on too.
Cool.
And, you know, it's really just predicting what they're thinking, right? It kind of depends on which player gets called up. You can see a bit of influence from a lot of guys here. And, you know, we talked about some guys who haven't been called up yet, like Zach McEwen, for example. You know, probably due for an opportunity really soon, but does Trent Call want to displace him from the lineup? Does Jim Benning and Green look at McEwen as a guy who they want to maybe fit up there long term? Mm-hmm. It really depends how you're projecting some of these guys. So we had a lot of interesting conversations with a lot of really intriguing Comets players. Obviously, some of the Canucks' most important prospects are down there right now. and Ulevi and Demko, and you got some guys who are flashing promise but haven't done a whole lot so far. For a lot of guys, it's been an adjustment. You throw like Jacek, Palmu, Gajevic, Lynn. So I really wanted to pick his brain about, you know, how they've looked game by game, where the improvements come from, and where does he see them fitting on this team. So we broke down a lot in this interview with Ben Brunell. So let's have a listen, man. Let's have a listen. You ready for that? Ready for some comments?
No, I was going to actually cut you off. Can we talk about one thing before we get to the Utica Comets guru? I just want to talk about Tim Schaller for a bit, okay?
Wow. You interrupt all the Comets talk for Tim Schaller, eh? All right, let's
Tim
get what you got.
Tim should get fired for that.
That's what you're dying on, man.
Yes, I am, yo.
Not the Spezza contract, not the Gabranton trade.
Tim Schaller. Oh, my
God. Hey, some people said he had his best game the other night against Minnesota.
Yeah, great. Good job, buddy. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Tim Schaller.
You feel bad for Tim Schaller?
Think about it. What? He has to live up to being a $2 million player.
He's getting $2 million.
That's not his fault.
He's getting $2 million a year for fucking doing shit all. I don't feel bad for him at all.
I'm saying that he's getting criticized for being demanded to be a $2 million player when he's just like a, you know, he's one of those guys. He could get him on waivers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This guy's got the 3-year deal, though.
I think in general, the Canucks should just stay away from whatever that's Boston impossible. Is about to give us.
Impossible, man. Jim Benning, as our GM on July 1st, will do some crazy things.
I mean, in general, Jim Benning came from Boston. Just cut off the Boston connection.
Yo, let's
I don't want to deal with Boston anymore.
Let's play some role-playing, okay?
Sounds sexy.
You're going to be Tim Schaller.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to be Jim Benning on July 1st, 2018. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Ring. Timmy?
Yep.
How's it going?
Fantastic, Jim. How are you doing?
Is your phone busy these days? I know you're a UFA today.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's 12 goals last season. You know, solid fourth line player. 6'2", 220. You know, I've had a lot of good times. Yeah.
I picked out of a hat, and they said it's a good time to offer you a 3-year deal. You're coming off a 12-goal season. You got a big frame on you. We think you can score 7 to 12 goals every year for us.
Oh, easily, yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
At 1.9 per.
Oh, you know I.
No, man, you're.
Screaming. I don't know.
Having an orgasm right now, man. That's what you should be having right now. Hear that?
Hey, it's about the poker face, dude. It's about the poker face.
God damn.
Like it's a silent. It's a silent cream. He had a silent cream.
I remember waking up and when we signed him, I legit had no idea who this guy was.
Yeah, no, I don't think I knew who it was until Boston, Toronto in the playoffs, to be honest.
And we signed all these guys to be, a better penalty killer type of team, you know.
Yep, he's definitely contributing to the Canucks having the worst penalty killing in the league. He's been absolutely awful on the penalty kill. I don't know if he was good in Boston. I should dig into that. Actually, that'll be my
like
next
said,
piece for next
I'm
misconduct.
I'm not trying to hate a lot. I feel bad for him. He's like a dope dude.
I think I just thought. Yeah, he does seem like a dope dude.
What if this guy was the 13th or 14th forward?
Got a sick mustache.
Okay.
Well, I think he might soon be the 13th forward.
Fair enough.
Fuck.
Let's get to your damn interview, man.
You know what? What I forgot to ask Ben was about Tim Schaller being in Utica.
Oh, yeah,
because, you know what? I forgot about that one. But we got lots more interesting players to talk to, so now I'm going to turn it to Ben Brunell. Enjoy the interview with the Utica Comets writer, Ben Brunell. All right, I have Ben Brunell with me from the Utica Observer Dispatch. Welcome to Silky and Filthy, Ben. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a while since we chatted with about the Comets. I know there's no more Jordan Subban anymore. A lot of different players since we last chatted before the 2017-18 season. But it's been another injury-riddled year in Utica, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. They have a lot of guys that just have injuries right now, and they're working through it. It's amazing how many injuries you get. You're missing like guys like Wasey Hamilton for all of the year so far, and Thatcher Demko missed most of the first part of the season too. And then you got little injuries here and there that force guys to miss time, so they're working through it.
Yeah, it's been tough to say the least. And I'll touch on Demko first because I think that was one of the most maddening injuries. From a Canucks perspective, there was the talk that Benning, kind of pushed Demko to get back to Utica early, which
kind of brought back on more concussion symptoms. And at that point, it's all hearsay. I know it took 2 months for him to get back into action. But it seems like in Vancouver, for whatever reason, maybe it's just the fact that he's been injured all year. Maybe it's the fact that there's been Bobrovsky rumors circling. But there seems to be some doubt about Demko. From what you've seen with his recovery and his early plays so far, should there be any doubt about Demko in Vancouver?
I don't think so. I mean, he's been solid in his four starts since coming back. You know, he's talked about getting some of the rust off. Obviously, he's missed, you know, almost 2 months. Trent Cullis said the same thing. But, I mean, he's kept them in games so far this season. And, you know, I think he's looked pretty good. You know, the team seems to have a little bit more confidence maybe with him in the lineup than when he wasn't. So, you know, he's done well down here, and I think it's only a matter of time. You got to give him another look, you know, up in the NHL and see how it goes. I know he's happy to be back playing. You know, he said he just wanted, you know, to work back and make sure he was completely ready by the time, you know, he was playing again. You know, he had talked about, he had some, you know, headaches and stuff at various points, and that kind of kept him out a little bit longer. So, you know, it doesn't seem like it's bothering him right now. So that's a plus.
Yeah, definitely. And in those four starts, like you said, he's played pretty well. He's the only Comets goalie with the save percentage above 900, which is a good sign. What can you say about the guys who are playing in relief for him, and in specific, Ivan Kubalkov?
He was good. I mean, he, you know, you look at the numbers he had last year, and he was like 0-5 with Cleveland in a few appearances. So he stepped in and, like, he made a good name for himself. I mean, he kind of struggled a little bit at times, but for the most part kind of, you know, played well and was able to, you know, help them a little bit. I think everyone knew he was going to be spending time in the ECHL with Demko and Bachman here. So, you know, I think he gave Comets fans a glimpse at what he can kind of do. And, you know, maybe if he gets called back up with, you know, Demko going up or Bachman going up again, then, you know, he knows what to expect.
Yeah, definitely. And what about Richard Bachman as well? Looks like it's just been a bit of a rough season for Bachman between his one NHL start and some games down in Utica so far.
Well, yeah, he had a tough start, but I mean, since he's come back, he's had two wins, and he's been sharp. I mean, the first game back, he had a career best 43 saves in the AHL, so that, I think, was a good leaping point for him, because that was against division-leading Rochester. In a game like that, he just kind of stood on his head, I want to say, and looked good. So, you know, I think these last two starts have been solid for him, and I think that's a good place to build off of after having such a tough start to the season, especially with that one start in the NHL.
Right.
I mean, you look at it, too, and when he went up to the NHL, it had been, I think, a couple weeks since he had a start. It had been like October 23rd, October 26th since he had played a game with Utica. So then he gets in a game like almost a month later, and there's a little bit of, you know, a time off there, and it's not helpful, I would say. So that's, I mean, they didn't get any help in that game with the Canucks either. So,
yeah,
you know, he's got something to build on now with these two games.
Yeah, I really felt bad for Bachman in that game. I felt like he probably should have played at least a week earlier. I liked him to play in that game against Buffalo, that 10 a.m. start there. And, you know, Markstrom was reeling for a couple games, and Green just waited for too long to pull the trigger. I was waiting for the Disney magic to happen again. I know when he came up in 2017 and he had that 42-43 save performance against the Ducks, that was the best moment of that 2016-17 Canucks season. There wasn't a lot going on there, and Bachman brought some cheer there. So again, I was hoping for the best for him, but it didn't work out.
He seems to handle things too pretty well. He's a pretty easygoing guy. He's got a nice personality, and I think, you know, that kind of helps too when you have a tough start like this. You know, when you can kind of look at it and say, okay, you know, we'll just reset here and go about it again.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna flip back to Demko for one more second here. Do you see Demko, when do you see Demko being NHL ready? Do you think if he was, you know, brought up to the Canucks now, that would be the time for Demko, or do you think maybe sometime next year or another time entirely is best for Demko?
Well, I think he's got to get a couple more starts back here, you know, from missing time from the concussion, just to kind of get his game back a little bit more. I'm sure he's probably, you know, not where he wants to be yet, I would say, because he's missed so much time. But, you know, like I said, he's looked good, been solid. I mean, it hasn't been maybe, you know, Thatcher Demko of maybe last season, you know, when he was in the middle of the season or whatever, and, you know, all-star season and stuff. So it's going to take some time. I mean, Trent Cole said the same thing. They're going to, you know, slowly put him into this. And I think, you know, if he continues to go on the track that he's on, I mean, I would think he'd get another look, and it all is up to him from there.
Yeah, and I've always been in the train of thought is just wait until next year with Demko. That's kind of my opinion on it, just because the Canucks aren't making the playoffs. They're not going for the Stanley Cup. I would say let Demko keep marinating in Utica, especially because of the concussions. I know the Canucks goaltending is a major weak spot, and when Demko's ready, the net will be there for him. That's kind of been my thought process on it.
It's they could make a move, too. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
He could come up then. So, but I think he's got to get a little bit more time back from missing so much time. I mean, you don't often see guys miss almost 2 months and then, you know, step in right away. I mean, but like we've said, he's had some solid starts. It's just building back up to it.
Yeah, I agree there, and I hope to see him in a Canucks uniform sometime soon, but if Bobrovsky does become a Canuck at some point, you and I will have to chat again.
Sounds good.
All right, let's flip to the roster, and I know there's some notable prospects down there that Canucks fans are watching. I want to get into one guy who's arguably been the Comets' best player this season, in Zach MacEwen. 10 goals all of last season. He's already hit 10 this year. When's his time to get a shot in the NHL?
You think it might be soon because he had a strong rookie season, and then he just continues to build on that. I mean, he's playing in all situations, getting power play time, getting penalty kill time a little bit now too. His skating has continues to improve. You know, he made a nice move recently to get around a defender and scored a goal the other night. So that was an impressive play. But I mean, he's got 18 points in 24 games, and I mean, he had 33 last season, and then his, like you said, 10 goals matches what he had last season too. So I think that the coaching staff has trust in him, and he seems to be taking advantage of every opportunity that he's getting. So I feel like if the Canucks have an opening at some point, they gotta, you know, maybe give him a look and see what he could possibly do.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and you know, the points are nice and all, but I'm kind of curious about how he's going to do on the penalty kill, because if MacEwen's going to make the Canucks, it's going to be in a fourth-line role. The Canucks' penalty killing has gone down the drain since, you know, Sutter's been injured. I'm not going to give Beagle too much credit, but Sutter was a mainstay there. Guys like Mott are getting a ton of time on the penalty kill, and I think, you know, you're looking at the Canucks roster, like, that's a guy that MacEwen could potentially replace, so... what can you say about MacEwen's play on the penalty kill so far?
I think he's learning that part of the game, too. They've been giving him a little bit of time there this year. And I think he's done solid. I mean, I think I looked and he's got maybe a minus 10 rating. I mean, that's not all, you know, obviously on him, that there's debate on,
right,
you know, the plus minus. But
definitely,
I think on that side, he's building that side like a lot of these guys are on that defensive side. And working hard to be solid on that side of the game.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, a lot of comments do have that a big plus minus right now, or a not flattering plus minus total. One of those guys being Ole Ualevi, who by all accounts has played pretty well for the comments. So what has impressed you the most about Ualevi's game so far?
I think the offensive side. I guess I wasn't completely sure how he would step in and fill that role. As far as offensively goes, I mean, he's been a big producer on the power play. Like, he's been quarterbacking the power play and been finding guys, you know, with open shots and everything. So, I mean, they're going to miss him a little bit here. He's already been out a few weeks with that injury, and he's supposed to be out a few more. But I think Evan McEnany's kind of stepped in and kind of helped fill that role, maybe not to the extent that Ulielevi was playing. But yeah, that part for Ulielevi is what's been, I think, the highlight. I think he's another guy that has some work to do on the defensive side, to kind of get a full game. I know, with Travis Green, he always wants guys to play, offensive, defensive, all everything to be solid. Doesn't want just one aspect of it. So mm-hmm. I think when he comes back, that'll be something that continues to be a focus.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the defensive play. That seems to be where he gets criticized the most. Does that tend to be, to nitpick a bit, does that tend to be with like puck battles in his own end? Or is it more of his transition game? Like, where do you think, he can improve?
A little bit more transition. Mm-hmm. He's got to make some maybe little better reads on plays and to kind of be there in the play a little bit more. I wouldn't say puck battles are necessarily an issue. It's more reading the play and maybe in transition.
Yeah, well, he's got the size to win those puck battles, so it's nothing but a learning curve for Ulielevi, and I feel bad for the kid sometimes, being picked fifth overall and seeing guys like Tkachuk and McAvoy succeed in the NHL. It, Canuck fans, a lot of them are impatient, but I do think from what I've seen of Ulielevi, he's a guy worth waiting for in Vancouver.
Yeah, I think he's making strides. I mean, this is the AHL is a tough league. You can't just step in sometimes, and it's different for everyone. I mean, you look at Adam Gaudette.
Right.
He was good, but it's different for everyone. Trent Call said the same thing at the beginning of the season. You know, different learning curves for everyone, and they get it figured out. But it just maybe takes a little bit longer for some other ones. But Ulielevi seems to be a guy that is finding his way.
Yeah, and I think what kind of surprised me too offensively was how good that he's been on the power play. I got to say, how has the Comets' power play been since Ulielevi left the lineup? Have they not missed a beat, or is he a guy that they've missed there?
They actually have 10 goals on 31 opportunities in the last six games, so it's like a little bit over 32%. They just had three the other night against Laval, which I don't think their penalty kill was as strong, but I mean, it's been running pretty hot lately, so it's actually something I think I'm going to focus on this week because they've been doing so well. I mean, it was always they were hovering around, maybe the middle part of the AHL's penalty kill or power play units, but now they're top three, I believe, when I looked last night. So they're doing pretty well so far. I think it helps that they got Boucher back.
Right.
You get Archibald, who's been playing some power play time, and McEwen's out there. Dahlin seems to be finding some confidence on the power play too, so I think that helps.
Yeah, definitely. I know Archibald had that greasy one on the power play against Laval the other night. He's back to doing what he does best with the Utica Comets there. Actually, I'm going to touch on Boucher for a second too. So the guy's got 10 goals in 14 games. He's been, absolutely lights out for the Comets. I don't think you could ask for much more from a guy like Boucher.
Yeah.
When you've talked to him, do you sense any frustration with not getting, a long look in the NHL? Because, what more can he do down in Utica?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, you got, the AHL, you want to be in the NHL. That's what this is for. But I think he's just kind of doing what he can. He's got huge shot. I mean, every time you see them go on the power play, you're like, okay, they're gonna find Boucher in the right circle, and that's where he seems to get a lot of his goals. And so every time they go on the power play, you're like, well, this could be another one. But I think he continues to put up points offensively, and I think he's working on other aspects of his game too to try and get a look. But yeah, it's tough because he gets that call up and then doesn't play and then gets sent down right away. It's tough for him. But he gets a look later in the season, or maybe something else along the road with another team.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking it might be along the road with another team, because you've seen guys like Archibald and Gons get called up over him. You have a guy like McEwen who's really pushing for ice time. Gagne has gotten called up. It seems like Boucher's a bit of a forgotten man in Vancouver. And I think one of the things that I noticed about Boucher's play in the NHL last year was that there's no doubt that the guy can shoot the puck. I think even his skating's improved. One thing I didn't like about his game was his ability to pass the puck. I just feel like Boucher couldn't thread a pass in the NHL very well.
He set up some pretty good scoring chances down here this year. I think that's part of something that's maybe he's worked on a little bit. It's working on his game a little bit. You know, trying to find what he can, offensively, it's there. Obviously, we've talked about, he's got all. It's just him working on his game, I think, and if he can, maybe find a role and take advantage of injuries or something. I know the Canucks want to get younger and get some of these guys a look. So it's tough to say what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, and I bet there's a percentage of people out there that would rather see a Reed Boucher than a Louis Erickson in the lineup. So. You never know. Maybe there's still a shot for Reed. Hold out hope.
It's possible.
Yeah. I'm going to go touch on one of the Canucks' younger players, and Jonathan Dahlin, another really intriguing guy, a guy who many think is going to play with Pedersen down the road. What can you say about his progress so far?
I think he continues to find his way. With him, too, the offensive side's there. He's had some great scoring chances on the power play and has shown some good moves in shootouts too. But in talking to him recently, he wants to find and improve his defensive side, maybe more in those puck battles and getting involved more on that side. I know that's something the coaching staff has preached with him. Being stronger along the boards and stuff like that. So I think he's working on that defensive side, but that offensive side's getting there. And Trent Cole said he looks like a different player from when they had him last year in the fall, and was coming off mono and had trouble, and then went overseas. So he looks strong. It's just refining that defensive part of his game, I guess.
Yeah, and I was kind of curious about, how he's gone to the net at this level, because that was kind of a trademark for him in Allsvenskan in Sweden, was just getting to the net, scoring goals from in close. How good has he been at getting to the net at the higher level here in the AHL?
I think that's something he's working on, too. I think you see it every once in a while. I don't know if maybe it's as often as maybe people would like, but... it's part of something that I think he's working on, getting, down low more and, getting to the net to try and find some of those goals that are in close.
Yeah, and I think once those goals start coming for Dahlin, he's going to get a shot in the NHL because, the staff saw that chemistry between him and Pedersen, so I think he's a guy that they have earmarked for calling up. But I also, in my mind, think Dahlin's one of those guys, when they call him up, they want to keep him. That's just the sense I get.
That's kind of always kind of the thing they are looking at is, okay, we don't want to call this guy up just for one or two games. We want him to stay. And I think with a young guy like that, that would give him a lot of confidence, but you never know what's kind of going to happen. It's such a log jam at forward right now that...
Oh, definitely.
you got to find a place for someone at some point.
Yeah, and Dahlin definitely falls into that glut of forwards there in Utica and in the Canucks organization in general. Let's touch on some more of those forwards. There's a whole bunch of them in that glut. I'm going to touch on a few of them that haven't played a ton because of injuries and opportunity, but let's start with Cole Lind. Been a rough go with injuries for him, but how has he looked in his limited game so far?
I think he's been okay. He's obviously missed a lot of time. He missed about a month with an injury. And so it's kind of him working back into it and finding his way. But I think he's looked okay. I think he has to continue to kind of get better as the season goes along. It's tough when you've missed as much as he has. So we'll see how he continues to progress here.
Yeah, who was he playing with early on in the season, are you able to recall that? Or was he bouncing around a bit?
I think a lot of guys have bounced around.
Yeah.
because of all the injuries and changes to the lineup and everything, and they're trying to find chemistry. He's had a few different line mates. And I think once he finds some chemistry with someone, maybe they'll keep him
right
around a little bit.
Yeah,
it's the same... spot.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall early on, but I believe when the Comets opened their season, they really tried to mix young guys like Lind with a more veteran player. They weren't really going with a lot of straight-up youth lines, so I could see them putting Lind with like a Gaunce or something like that. That's what I kind of think he was playing with early on, but I can't quite recall.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of veteran guys with young guys just to kind of, you know, have someone there to kind of help them through it, which I think is helpful when you've got guys stepping into this league for the first time. I mean, it's a tough league. You know, especially with a guy like, you know, Cole Lind or Jonah Gadjevich or Petrus Palmu. Like, Cole Lind and Gadjevich have both played against maybe younger guys as they've gotten older, and now they're playing against older guys, and it's a little bit different. And you can't do maybe the kinds of things you can in junior now in the AHL. I mean, talking to Gadjevich, he said the adjustment has been maybe bigger than he thought it would be.
Right.
So I think he's still learning too. So it's, you know, it's tough to step in and right away and be like the guy when you were the guy in the juniors.
Right.
So, you know, it's still early and they're working on it.
Yeah. I believe that 100%. And I think too, with guys like Gadjevich and Palmu, we'll touch on them a bit. Again, they've only played, I think, 6 games each. Last time I checked, I could be mistaken there. But
they've been kind of in and out of the lineup. It's, you know, that's kind of something that happens early in the AHL season. You rotate rookies in and out. And like I said, Gadjevich has said that it's been a learning experience for him and a bigger adjustment than maybe he thought.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the same thing for Palmu. I haven't talked to him, so... I know he came from, you know, pro league overseas, and so I think it's just working on, you know, parts of their game that can help them get back in the lineup and stay there.
Yeah, and sorry, I made a mistake there. I guess Gadjevich has played in 14 of 24 games. You got Palmu in 11 of 24 to date right now. And I think my point with guys like Gadjevich and Palmu is that even when they are getting in, they're probably not playing a ton, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I mean, Gadjevich has a little bit of time on the power play, so he's gotten some time there. You know, they try to roll 4 lines down here in Utica.
Yeah, fair enough. And again, with guys like Gadjevich and Palmu, it is going to take some time. Have you noticed anything about Palmu's game that stood out to you in his start to the season?
Well, he's a strong kid. It's hard to knock him off the puck. I mean, he's got such a low center of gravity, but... I think that's one of the kind of things that stands out with him. I mean, he's another guy that I think needs to continually refine his game to be more consistent to continue to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, I always think that Palmu is a very noticeable guy out there, just because, you know, he is like a fire hydrant on the ice. You know, even he skates hard and. He is very strong on the puck for his size. It is quite something to watch, but yeah, it'd be nice to see it on a more consistent basis, and I hope he gets there. He's a fun player to watch when he's on his game.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's getting there. It's, like I said, it takes a little bit of time for some guys, so he'll get there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one guy who actually has looked pretty good so far in his first full season as a Comet, and that's Lukas Jacek. 11 points in 19 games to date.
Yep.
He looks like he's, you know, continued off his performance from last year where he raised some eyebrows. So what can you say about Jacek's game so far?
Yeah, I think he had a little bit maybe of a slower start to the season, but I think he's come on strong here. I think he continues to find his game too, and the offensive side's there too. And, you know, he's looked strong. I think he's got a good shot, and I think he continues to get better with each game. You know, it's... Yeah, he's been good so far. I think he's, you know, continues to play well, and it's nice to see a guy come over, you know, from overseas and be able to kind of translate it to the AHL where guys are older and the play is a little bit quicker. So yeah, he's been good in his first couple games here in this first full season anyway with the Comets.
Yeah, and definitely a forgotten prospect in Vancouver, a 6th-round pick. A guy that wasn't really mentioned until he was scoring at a point per game pace last season. What kind of opportunities has Jacek gotten with the Comets? Is he playing with some offensive-minded player? Does he get any power play time? What's his usage been like?
He's gotten a little bit of power play time, too. Again, it's one of those things where he's kind of moving up and down the lineup with different guys because they keep continuing to find chemistry with these different players and stuff. So, you know, I think he's gotten some offensive line mates, and he's played a little bit of center because they've had kind of some trouble there after Gaudette got called up and Hamilton's been out. So he's been a little bit at wing, mostly at wing, and a little bit at center too. So he's looked okay at center. I think they'd like him more at wing.
Yeah, and I think the Canucks would probably project him more as a winger than a center too. It feels like unless Sutter and the newly signed Beagle get jettisoned, the center position is locked down for the foreseeable future. And obviously one of those centers with the Canucks right now is Adam Gaudette. And he's been a really interesting player in Vancouver. Not sure how much you've been following him up here. But he seems like, you know, he makes a lot of great little plays is something I've noticed in his game. But again, it's just the pace of the NHL seems like a lot for him after only playing in, you know, four games with the Comets this season. What can you say about Gaudette when he was down in Utica for those four games?
I mean, those four games, he looked, he was strong. I mean, he had a goal where he made a nice little toe drag move into the slot and scored. And that impressed a lot of people, I know. He looked very good in a limited amount of time. I mean, it was impressive. You know, he had said before the season, it's one of those things where he likes to just get thrown into these situations and he'll learn from there. And he seemed to be learning on the fly pretty well. And then I wasn't surprised at all when he got called up because he was just, it seems like all part of his game was, you know, on point. So, I've seen a little bit that hasn't played a lot in games up there. And people saying maybe he should come back down and get some more time. I mean, that, you know, maybe that helps him more. I don't know. But, you know, he certainly looked good in the four games he was down here. So,
well, that would help from your point of view, too. It would be nice to cover a guy like that in Utica for a chunk of the season.
he seemed to enjoy his first couple four games, getting the goal and everything. But, yeah, he's a fun player to watch. Strong and has a lot of nice moves in his repertoire. So, yeah, he's a fun guy to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if he were sent back down to the Comets, do you think he would pretty much be catapulted into big minutes, all situations? Do you see that as being his usage if he were to go back to Utica?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they need help at center a little bit. You know, Tanner Kiro's been playing as one of their top centers, and he's been a very good player for them. I know Trent Cole likes his game, but yeah, Adam Gaudette coming back in would be one of their top centers again, and likely getting power play and penalty kill time. If they want to go that route, I would imagine that's the way they would go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would think get heavy usage back down in Utica.
Yeah, Green definitely tends to be a little bit hesitant to do that up here. Again, I've really liked a lot of little things Gaudette's doing in his game. I think he's great in transition. I think he's pretty ferocious on the puck. It's just really finding that offensive nose for the net. I was a little disappointed up here when he scored his first goal against the Kings, and then the next game, you know, Green basically benched him for the second half of the game. So again, little decisions like that have been tough for Gaudette, but yeah, if he were to go to the Utica, I think he'd be, you know, back to being a big factor for that team too.
Yeah, I mean, he was in those first four games, so yeah, I would think that if he comes back down, there's a big role for him to play.
Yeah, well, it could be a while. I know Beagle's on the verge of returning, but Sutter could be out for another month, so at the very least, looks like Gaudette's going to play at least half the season in the NHL, which is something that maybe not a lot of people predicted coming into the season.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you see some of these guys start in the AHL, and you wonder how long, you know, they'll be here. You look at like a guy like Troy Stetcher, for instance,
right,
who was here for, I think, two or three games and then never returned. So, you know, with Gaudette, maybe it's something similar. Maybe we see him back down here. I know, you know, fans down here like to see him play. But, you know, obviously the goal is the NHL for these guys. So he seems to be doing enough that the Canucks like him up there to keep him long term.
Yeah, I'm really curious what happens when Sutter and Beagle are both healthy. I personally think they're going to send him back to Utica because, you know, if the Canucks keep trending towards being out of the playoff picture, maybe they want to give a guy like Gaudette bigger minutes. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when we go down that road. And it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, guys that are only there for a short span. I mean, Stetcher's one of those guys. I think Hyden played a few games. I think Horvat might have been down there on a conditioning stint for a few games.
Horvat was here four games, I think. Maybe 14, 15?
I think so.
He had a short stint and never returned. And, I mean, then you got guys like Jake Virtanen who are down here for most of the season, and he learned a lot and is now, you know, playing a big role up there. So, you know, I guess you kind of never know. To me, anything is possible. So that's kind of the mantra that I go with, and seems like that's the way it goes with some guys.
On a side note, have you seen any Utica Comets fans participating in the Shotgun Jake movement?
I have not, no.
Hasn't spread that far yet, eh?
I haven't seen any videos of that yet. Maybe they're trying to get their own version down here, I don't know. But I haven't seen anybody yet or heard anything, so.
I mean, I think Petrus Palmu seems like a guy you would do a Shotgun for, but he hasn't scored yet, so, you know, maybe when he pots his first.
It's possible,
yeah. I'm going to circle back to a player who I don't think many Canucks fans ever think about. Michael Carcone, I know you wrote about him recently. He's got almost a point per game right now with the Comets. What do you like about his game right now?
Oh, he's so quick. Just speed for days, it seems like. And then he'll come down the side and he'll pull a little spin move. He actually did it the other night. Set up a nice goal in front. I think it was Tony Cameronesi who put in the goal after his nice little spin move, which he's done a few times. Those are the two big things that stand out. I think he continues to take steps, and he's getting power play and penalty kill time. You know, but he's got, I think, 17 points in 20 games. And Trent Cole said the other day that Carcone's playing his best hockey right now, which is something that, you know, you have a coach say that, you're doing something right. So, I mean, he's got, I think, 11 points in his last 10 games. So he's getting rewarded for his strong play. And he seems, you know, happy with that, considering, you know, he had a tough start to the season with being a healthy scratch. But, you know, at that time, Trent said, you know, we've got a lot of options here, and I'd like to get him in. It's just trying to find him, getting him a place in the lineup. And, you know, he stepped into the lineup, and he's been performing well. You know, he only had, I think, 27 points last year, and he's got 17 and 20. So he's doing pretty well so far. You know, it's about continuing it, and you know, I think he's top five in scoring, which is helpful for the Comets, so that's good.
Yeah, currently fourth on the Comets behind McEwen, Boucher, and Caro. So you mentioned earlier that he was a healthy scratch to start the season. Do you think there's any chance Carcone could go from healthy scratch to NHL player with the Canucks?
I mean, if he keeps continuing on the path that he's on and keeps working hard, I think he could be a you know, an option down the road. It's all about what the Canucks want to do, right? So if they, you know, decide they want to give him a look and see what he can do, I think maybe. He's also undrafted too.
Right, so, yeah.
I mean, that would be a great story if, you know, he could get a look up there too. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see what happens.
And Canuck fans do love their undrafted hockey players, that's for sure. I mean,
well, McEwen's undrafted also too. So he's, you know, I think both of those guys are ones that are getting close and can be in the conversation to get a call up.
Right.
Canucks, and I think that would be a good story.
Yeah, it certainly would be a good story. It'd be interesting to see if they were both appear at the same time, considering they're competing for a spot, you know, to be realistic about it. And yeah. I think it would... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Carcone and McEwen had been playing together recently.
So, oh, really?
I think that might have been something helpful for both of them. So, you know, we'll see how it goes if they continue to play together and they continue to find the offensive rhythm that they're on right now.
Right. And I would really put it as a long shot with Carcone being called up to the Canucks. But, you know, the thing that makes me ponder it is that obviously Cull has a big say in who goes up. You know, he's recommending guys to Travis Green. So if Cull has been really impressed with this game, I mean, there's always a shot, right?
I'm sure he's, you know, probably been mentioned once or twice when Trent talks to Travis. I mean, you know, Ryan Johnson's involved in those moves too, and I'm sure Jim Benning has a say in who they'd like to see. You know, at the very least, maybe Carcone does enough to earn another contract. I believe he's in the third year of his entry-level contract. So, you know, maybe it's that route, and he gets rewarded with that. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, you're right about that. It looks like Gaunce, Carroll, Boucher, Carcone, and Archibald are all either restricted or unrestricted at the end of the season. So, yeah, you'd imagine that's a goal if Carcone is there to keep a spot with the Comets and possibly earn a call-up with the Canucks at some point. Yeah, so let's switch to the defense. We talked about Olli Juolevi. There's been a couple other new faces since the last time we chatted with the Comets. And let's talk about one of Jim Benning's favorite prospects, Guillaume Brisebois.
Yeah.
The off-mentioned...
He's been solid. You know, he's getting some penalty kill time. And, he's not... Like, it's not noticeable. Like, so I think that's a good thing for a defenseman. I think he's jumping up into the play a little bit more, too, on offense. So I think he's had a couple times where I've said, well, where did Guillaume Brisebois just come from? And, you know, he'll jump up into the play. And it's kind of a surprise sometimes to see. So I think that part of his game, he's trying to help out a little bit more. But the defensive side, I think he's fine. Like I said, not noticeable, which I think is good. Considering you're a defenseman, you don't want to, you know, make these big mistakes that are like, oh, okay. So I think that part of his game is fine. You know, obviously still working on everything too, but I think he's been good. And he got the call up where mm-hmm. you know, he didn't play, but at least gets, you know, the opportunity to see what goes on up there. And I think talking to him, he said that he talked to Chris Tanev a little bit because he's a guy that he kind of models his game after. So I think that was helpful for him. He seemed to enjoy that part, he said. So, you know, if you can find another guy like Chris Tanev, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that he talked to Tanev, because it really feels like the way you're describing him sounds like, you know, Chris Tanev in the NHL, a guy who's not always noticeable, but he just makes a smart play with the puck. And have you seen that progression from Brisebois from the beginning of last season as a rookie? Has it been pretty noticeable?
Yeah, I think, especially on offense, last year, I feel like he wasn't really like a guy that you'd think would be involved kind of in the offense. And like I said, jumping up into the play more this year, which I think can only help because they haven't been getting a lot of goals from defensemen, you know, earlier this season. So, you know, it helps when you've got a guy that can jump up like that and play more offensive role.
Yeah, it looks like the only Comets defenseman with more than one goal is Evan McEnany, who just got his second against Laval the other night. So, yep. Yeah, you're right. Another problem that's the same in Vancouver as it is in Utica. Would you look at that? And you know what? Another problem that I've noticed between the two organizations is this season, it seems like both the Canucks and Comets are scoring goals and letting in a lot of goals as well.
Yeah, they've had some defensive issues that I think they continue to work through. Maybe it's not as strong as they like. You know, I've asked Trent Cull a couple times, and he's like, you know, we can always be better defensively. I think it helps now that they've got Demko back, and Trent's called him, you know, a calming influence numerous times. So I think that might help them defensively. But yeah, at one point, I think either last week or the week before, they had like a minus 20 goal differential, which was the worst in the league. So it's something that I think they got to continue to work on. So, you know, they've got a lot of, I think at that point they were missing a lot of guys. So they're getting guys back now with Boucher and Archibald and guys that can kind of help them, you know, especially on the penalty kill. So
yeah, and Demko's huge too.
Yeah, Demko being back, and then if you can continue to get strong play out of Bachman too, I think that's helpful for the defensive side.
Certainly. Let's talk about Jalen Chatfield. He was I guess, call it lucky enough to be paired beside Yuel Levy to start the season. How has he impressed you from when he came to the Comets since last season?
He's another guy, too, that was starting to jump up into the offense before he got injured. Now he's been out for, I think, a couple weeks and then continues to be out. Because I think I saw him in a cast recently and on crutches. So that's unfortunate for him. But, yeah, the offensive side, like, he was another guy that was starting to kind of jump up into the play too. Defensively, I think he was okay. I think he's got a little bit of work to do on that side. But he's making strides from where he was last season. I mean, he got better as the season went along last season and was great for them in the playoffs. And I think he's got to continue to work on various parts of his game in order to kind of get where maybe he can get a full-time call-up and see a game. I mean, he got the same kind of little trip with Brisbois there where he got up to kind of see what was happening and but didn't get a game. So, hopefully when he comes back, he can kind of pick up where he left off and continue to work back, and maybe you'll see him up there too.
Yeah, and I think Chatfield's really just got the benefit of playing on a side where the Canucks have a weakness. I think a guy like Brisbois is probably a bit more hard-pressed to make an impact with Hughes coming up down the line, Yuel Levy. They really like what Ben Hutton's been doing there. Whereas on the right side, I think there's more opportunity. So Chatfield could probably earn an opportunity sooner or later.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think you're right. That right side, if he continues to make progression, I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and I think one other thing I wanted to touch on with Chatfield as well is, obviously the AHL isn't as brutal as it was physically, maybe compared to 5, 10, 15 years ago. But Chatfield was a guy who in junior was really making those physical plays. Have you seen that element of his game with the Comets? And if not him, like, who else has really stood out physically?
Yeah, I think Chatfield's got a physical part of his game. I think that's something that he's slowly added into his game. McEnany too. He's been adding that part a little bit as he's continued to work back from this knee injury, right? I mean, he missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
Got injured November 2017 and then, has been making his way back, and that's a part of his game too that I think Evan's using more to his advantage recently, and I think that's helpful. Ashton Sautner obviously also plays a physical game, which I think helps. So that's good. Sautner's been playing with Dylan Bugis, who's a guy that's been on an AHL deal. And they've seemed to have formed a pretty good pair. So I think that's good. And then I think, Sautner and McEnany both have played pretty good physical games.
All right, well, let's touch on those two guys, because both McEnany and Sautner have seen a little bit of time with the Canucks. I'm still pissed that Sautner got robbed from his goal last season. Fucking yeah. Gerard Gallant had to challenge that goal, and the game didn't matter. It still grinds my gears. But also, those two guys, they saw some time, but at the same time, they aren't really guys you think of in terms of call-ups. Do you think either player can earn a call-up with, guys like Yuel Levy and Brisbois and Chatfield, in the mix as well?
Yeah, I mean, if, it kind of depends on what the Canucks want from who they have, but I mean, obviously they want to get younger, and they've got, Yuel Levy and they've got Chatfield are both guys that I think they've kind of touted since they've been drafted. Brisbois too. So, I mean, it's tough to say, but you've got experience with both of those guys, with Sautner and McEnany, who both play more of a defensive-minded game. They're not as offensive as maybe Yuel Levy or Chatfield. I think if you're looking for strong defensive players, Sautner and McEnany are probably your guys. But with McEnany, it's something where he's got to continue to play because he's been out for so long and missed so much time. But I think Sautner has been one of the Comets' best defenders. I mean, he's just so good defensively. He's another one of those guys you don't see. Or he doesn't make a bad play that often. He's been one of their better defensemen. And like I said, McEnany too, he's been more and more comfortable, I think, as the season's gone on.
Yeah, and again, like we talked about before, the problem for these guys is they're, again, they're both left shot defensemen, so it's tough to make your mark in this Canucks organization, yeah. I think. I know, especially with you, Hughes and Ioleve marked long-term in that position. I'm going to put you on the spot a bit here. We've talked about a bunch of defensemen so far. In your mind, who's been the Comet's best all-around defenseman so far this season?
Oh, I would say probably Sautner's probably up there. Jamie Seifers doesn't do a lot, you know, on the offensive side, but he's been jumping up a little bit more too. You know, Ioleve was there too. You know, offensively, like what we talked about, the defensive side needed some work. So I would go with Ashton Sautner's probably been one of the team's better defensemen.
Yeah, and it helps that he's been healthy for the whole season too. But I think you saw that in Vancouver last year. He really didn't look out of place in the five games when he played for the Canucks. But again, it's the numbers game that's probably getting to Sautner a bit there.
Yeah. He doesn't ever really look out of place. He's just strong defensively.
Yeah.
And adds in the offense when he can.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's finish it off by just talking about the Comets race to the playoffs in that very interesting North Division right now. Seems like there's a logjam of teams really all throughout the standings there. You know, the Comets are right there with Devils, Marlies, Senators, Rocket. All teams are within 4 points of each other. How do you feel about the Comets' chances of making a playoff push later in the season as they start getting some bodies back?
Well, I think getting those bodies back is going to be helpful, especially later in the year. I think they got to find more consistency. You'll get a strong game one night, and then maybe the next night it won't be as strong, and then they'll make a mistake and ends up in the back of their net. They ended up, you know, losing. It happened kind of the other night. They had a lead after two periods and then blew it and lost. So that was tough for them. It's, you know, like last week they had a three-game week, and then, you know, this week is they won one out of three. So it's finding that more consistency, especially as you get more of these top teams on the schedule, because they play a lot of the other Eastern Conference teams later. And, you know, they play Syracuse, which is on an incredible run right now. I think they've got points in at least 13 straight. So they've really found their way, at least recently. And Rochester's been kind of strong all season. Maybe had a little bit of a blip. So I think if they hover around, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6 spot for most of the season, I think they can be okay. Right now it's tight there. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement for a lot of time until maybe a team kind of goes on a run and takes one of those other spots. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think, like I said, if they can find consistency, I think they'll be okay and can make, you know, a playoff run, or at least get a playoff spot and then see what happens in the playoffs.
Right. And I'll put you on the spot again here. Out of everyone on the Comets roster, who do you think is the X factor going forward if they're going to make the playoffs? Like, who's really going to make a difference for this team if they are playing playoff games in April and May?
I think guys like, you know, Tanner Kiro, who we haven't really talked about, but Trent Call said it's only a matter of time until he gets kind of a look. He's got the NHL experience, but
right.
He's been a guy that plays in all situations for him and can do a lot of great things. Just hardworking guy that strong on both sides of the puck and does well for them. You know, Zach McEwen can continue to do what he's doing. I think that's another big thing. And then you look at, you know, guys like, you know, Thatcher Demko last year in the playoffs, who had a big series. I think if he continues to, you know, find his game and play well after this long stretch off, I think he could be another guy that steps in. And, you know, Reed Boucher last year too scored some big goals, you know, down the stretch and even in the playoffs. So I think they've got a number of guys that could be that guy, which is helpful.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned Tanner Kiro. I think he's got probably one of the best mug shots this season. He's just he's a pissed off looking dude. Is he like that all the time? Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy. So I've talked to him a couple times, and seems quiet and just goes kind of out of his business. And I'm sure he wants to get back to you. He had some time with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
Previously, so that's good. You know, and if they're looking for a guy that has NHL experience, certainly think they've got a good deal when they traded for him for Michael Chaput. So
yeah,
helpful.
Yeah, I do you think Kara's a better player than Chaput? I know Chaput was really good in the AHL, but obviously after that Willie Desjardins season, he seems to be a player that Canucks fans, when they hear his name, they just cringe, so.
Yeah, I mean, both guys do a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like maybe Chaput was maybe more of a little bit of a physical player than, say, Kira was, but I mean, I want to say they play similar games.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason I didn't ask you about him is because, you know, with Kira and Chaput being pretty similar, I think that the last thing Canucks fans want to hear is Chaput 2.0 is being called up. But yeah, you're right, he has played well.
I think Kira, like I asked Kira too about it, and he said he likes to kind of be a guy that passes and sets up teammates more than maybe score goals. So I feel like Chaput was maybe more of a shooter first, mm-hmm. rather than pass. So I think in that regard, maybe they're different players, but yeah, I think Kiro's been a very good pickup for the Comets.
Yeah, well, 19 points in 24 games. He had 20 and 36 last year, so he's...
I think he had 20 in each of his last two seasons. So
yeah, you're right, yeah.
He's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, not bad for the 26-year-old. It'll be interesting to see if he gets a call-up, although I'm sure Canuck fans would rather see the likes of McEwen or something like that up here with the team.
Yeah, they've got a lot, like we said, a lot of forwards. Kiro's more of a center, so yeah, I know that those roles are kind of filled up in Vancouver. So I think it's the wings that might get a little bit more of a chance. But it's always be nice to see Kiro get maybe rewarded for a strong play here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad Kiro's got someone in his corner, Ben, because I'm sure a lot of Canucks fans aren't doing the same. So good on you for setting the record straight about Kiro there.
Yeah, he's been strong for them. That's good. It's helpful considering they're not as strong at center. So he's been their top center, and it's been beneficial for them.
Yeah, and you definitely need guys like that. Like you say, when injuries hit, and you know you start losing guys like Gaudette, who obviously would have been a top two center down there as well. So you definitely need those guys to step up, and it's good to hear that Kiro's been doing that for the Comets.
Yep.
Yeah. That's about all I got for you, Ben. We checked off a lot of players here. Before I let you go, and I should have pumped your tires earlier in the interview, but I got to congratulate you again on getting the James H. Ellery Memorial Award for outstanding media coverage in the AHL.
Oh, thank you very much. It was not something I ever expected, but it was nice to be recognized for writing and covering the Comets and everything. So definitely. Was a surprise when I got the phone call and all the well wishes on Twitter and Facebook and everything was nice. So just a nice award to get.
Yeah, well, you've been absolutely killing it with your Comets coverage down there. And I always love chatting you and getting your insight. You definitely got a good grasp on what's going on down in Utica. So with that, I'll say thanks for joining me on Silky and Filthy. And let's do this again sometime. Always love chatting you about the Comets.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor. Yeah, let's do it again.
All right, Ben. Take it easy. Enjoy your day in beautiful Utica, New York.
Thank you.
Take it easy, Ben.